Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is George Weigel. He's all kinds of things. He's an author, syndicated columnist, political commentator, but he's also the biographer of Pope John Paul II with his book Witness to Hope. He followed that up with The End and the Beginning, and most recently in 2017, Lessons in Hope, My Unexpected Life with St. John Paul II. He's going to be speaking at Modern Day Parish at the Nativity Church this coming Friday night, May 10th at 7 o'clock. Tickets are just $10, and I'll tell you how you can get them toward the end of the interview. George, you called your interactions with Pope John Paul II unexpected, so I have a hard time believing anything is truly, truly unexpected, so how did it come to pass?
Well, that's, of course, Brian, the whole point of Lessons in Hope is to explain how this unexpected life happened. I agree with you, and in fact, one section of that book is named Coincidence and Providence, and that title is taken from something that John Paul II said at Fatima on May 13th, 1982, a year after he had been shot. When he came to Fatima to give thanks for his life having been spared, and he said, in the designs of Providence, there are no mere coincidences. What we perceive initially as coincidence or happenstance or something random is just a piece of God's providential plan for our lives that we haven't figured out how to put into the frame yet. And that's how I came to understand various aspects of my life in relationship to John Paul II. Things that seemed good to do at the time turned out to be remote preparation for becoming his biographer. So the whole experience was for me a lesson in providential coincidences. And I hope readers come away from the book with a sense of that same providence working in their own lives.
As a Catholic, as you are, going ahead and writing a biography of the Pope, that's not like writing any other biography. There's special things that you have to do. Were you given unfettered access to the Pope?
Well, the Pope is a very busy man. And I understood, having known John Paul for some years before I took up this task, that you know, he had a limited amount of time, but he was very generous with it, and over dozens of meetings, we had dozens of hours of conversation that I think were really crucial in giving me a deeper sense of his personality, the taproots of his thought and his spiritual life. But there's also the public record. There's the public events of a pontificate. There's the documentation of a pontificate. I would say the most challenging thing for me in writing both Witness to Hope and The End and the Beginning was to translate his magisterium, his teaching, into a language that was fair to it, that was an accurate reflection of what he was saying, but that was accessible to people who don't have specialist training in philosophy and theology. That was an interesting challenge. I hope I met it. But that's part of papal biography writing too. I mean, popes are teachers, and to try to understand a pope simply in terms of his public activity and not of his thought and his magisterium is to miss something of the core of the office.
So when you would physically interview him, were you sitting across a table in chairs? How did this work?
Well, it was. These are all described in Lessons in Hope. We were constantly talking over meals, lunches and dinners. And I said to him at one point in this three-year process, I said, you know, you really don't have to feed me every time. He laughed and said no, he preferred to do it this way. And that was, I think, because meal times were his only real downtime of the day. When, you know, there wasn't a meeting to preside over, an audience to give. It was his time without any other outside pressures. And I was very grateful for him sharing those moments with me.
setting aside the fact you probably wouldn't have gotten access otherwise, but could a biography of Pope John Paul or any pope be written by a non-Catholic or a non-Christian with some type of secular view?
Well, they would have to be willing to take the pope, for any pope, for what he is, first of all, which is a Christian disciple. I mean, the problem with these, with other biographies of John Paul II, and what actually motivated me to propose the project that became Witness to Hope and the End and the Beginning, was my dissatisfaction with biographers who only saw him from the outside. I thought this was a man who can only be understood from the inside. He has to be understood inside out, from the inside out, from inside his Christian conviction to his teaching and his public activity. So you'd have to be willing to do that. Look, the gold standard for papal reference works is J.N.D. Kelly's Oxford Dictionary of Popes. J.N.D. Kelly was an Anglican. Now, he is really dealing primarily with the public record of pontificates, but it's not impossible, but it would require a very special kind of willingness to try to get inside someone whose fundamental convictions you don't share.
I grew up in a Catholic family, Polish Catholic family here in Sioux City, Iowa, and when Pope John Paul II was elevated, I remember the pride that my grandparents felt that there was finally a Polish pope, and he came here to Iowa and visited in 79. We all trekked down to Des Moines to see him. It seemed like that papacy of Pope John Paul, for me, marked the end of a papacy that I viewed as a Catholic, as somebody who was sort of a magnificent creature, a servant of God. And it seems like the two popes that have followed him have become more political leaders, or at least viewed that way. Maybe it's just because I was older when they were elevated and it wasn't that I was a child. Has that happened for you, or have you observed that with anybody else as the popes have followed John Paul?
No, I wouldn't say that about Pope Benedict XVI. Benedict XVI will be remembered as one of the great papal teachers and certainly one of the greatest papal homilists since Pope Gregory the Great in the 6th and 7th century. He was not a political man, although he had deep insights into the distress of the West and the democratic world in the early 21st century. I think what people found in John Paul II was what you might call the whole package. I mean, here was a compelling human personality, a very attractive man, a great public personality, a man of manifest, deep interior life, a shrewd diplomat, a magnificent public speaker. And someone whom, when you saw him at the altar, you felt you were really in touch with the divine presence in the world. That's a remarkable combination of qualities. He was in some sense made for the late television age, because he was such a compelling public personality and knew how to make that work publicly. You can't expect that all the time. And it's probably not a good thing all the time. I mean, there's a sense in which when the Pope becomes the only reference point in Catholics' imagination, that's not good. There are lots of other things going on in the Catholic Church beside the papacy. But at that particular moment in history, between 1978 and 2005, John Paul II was providentially made for that moment. And I think people sense that, too. I mean, here was one of these rare occasions where the man and the moment really came together in a remarkable way, such that the man could bend the course of history in a more humane direction, which he manifestly did.
Did he ever get to the point in his life where he thought he was just trying to move mountains that aren't going to move? Did he ever get distraught?
Well, he certainly didn't get distraught. I think he was quite frustrated by his inability to get to Russia and to China. Those were painful things for him. But no, I mean, this was a man who believed he was not in charge of his own life, God was in charge of his life, and his primary task every morning in his hour of private prayer was to, you know, to try to tune in to what God was asking of him that day. And if you live your life that way, you can take the inevitable speed bumps in the road with grace and equanimity.
How much of his papacy was defined by the fact that he came from Poland?
I think the first half of it was certainly largely defined by that, and the entire process that led up to what we call the Revolution of 1989 in Central and Eastern Europe. I would say the second half of the papacy, of his pontificate, was really defined by what he called the new evangelization, the challenge to the church to rediscover itself as a missionary enterprise, the challenge to every Catholic to understand themselves as missionary disciples. And that could have come from anywhere, but it did come out of his particular experience of the Second Vatican Council. But I think the distinctive qualities of Polish Catholicism and his ability to deploy those to ignite a revolution of conscience in Central and Eastern Europe during his first visit home to Poland in June 1979, that was a particularly providential coincidence right then.
The Pope, John Paul, made a lot of trips to the United States. Was there one overarching theme throughout his visits here that he preached time and time again as he would make this trip?
That's an interesting question. You'd have to go back through all of the texts.
Well, I don't want to do that.
Certainly there's... Well, you should. They're worth reading. Certainly the centrality of the family to the life of the church and the nation. The life issues, the right to life from conception until natural death. I think living freedom nobly, the challenge to Americans to understand freedom as something other than I did it my way. Frank Sinatra was a great singer. He was not a great moral philosopher. I did it my way is a two-year-old's understanding of freedom. And John Paul II thought Americans could do better than that, and was constantly challenging us to do better than that. But the Pope loved the United States. I think he had a real sense of the vitality of the church in the United States, and thought America could be a model of a mature democracy for the world, and wanted us to accept that responsibility.
All right. He's George Weigel. The book, the most recent book about Pope John Paul II is Lessons in Hope, My Unexpected Life with St. John Paul II. George is going to be speaking here at Mater Dei Church at the Nativity Parish Church office, or church building there. It's Friday night, May 10th at 7 o'clock. Tickets are $10. You can pick them up at the church office, which is over at the Immaculate Conception Center, 1212 Morningside Avenue. They're $10 a piece. Or you can apparently call Mary at 712-898-7513. To go ahead and reserve those. Now, that's the church with the great Lenten fish fries out there in Morningside, kind of by the mall on Natalia Way. So, George, they're going to be you're going to sign books out there, too, after you speak?
I'd be happy to. Books will be available, and I'd love to meet people and sign for them.
All right, George Weigel, the book is Lessons in Hope. Go pick it up. If you don't have it, you can get it at the talk. We will see you in Sioux City Friday night.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.